What's going on, everybody? This is Ben from Retro Ben Gaming. With all the craziness happening in the world today, I decided to add a little positivity to it with this podcast. This podcast is going to focus on all things video games, whether it's discussing them, playing them, or just getting them on the cheap. Now, whether you're a PC player or a console player, I believe we all have something to add to this conversation. So I hope you enjoy the podcast, and as always, keep gaming. Welcome back to the podcast. Thanks for joining me for another week. I've been kind of on a hiatus, a lot of family stuff going on. But today we're going to start a new little series. I've been trying to work stuff out and I think I found something. I'm going to break down the history and the sales and the relevance and the synopsis and development of various video games. And then I will have a accompanying YouTube video of me playing it, hopefully beating it, but if not, oh well. Today we're going to start with Super Mario Brothers, the original on Nintendo, the one that started it all. I mean, I know there was Mario Brothers and all that goodness, but Super Mario Brothers on Nintendo is what started it all. So tell me if this sounds familiar or not. In the fantasy setting of the Mushroom Kingdom, a tribe of turtle-like creatures known as the Koopa Troopas invade the kingdom and use the magic of its king, Bowser, to turn its inhabitants, known as the Mushroom People, into inanimate objects such as bricks, stones, and horseshoe plants. Bowser and his army also kidnap Princess Toadstool, the princess of the Mushroom Kingdom, and the only one with the ability to reverse Bowser's spell. After hearing the news, Mario sets out to save the princess and free the kingdom from Bowser. After traveling through various parts of the kingdom and fighting Bowser's forces along the way, Mario reaches Bowser's final stronghold, where he can defeat him by striking an axe on the bridge suspended over lava that he is standing on, breaking the bridge, defeating Bowser, and allowing for the princess to be freed and save the Mushroom Kingdom. Sound familiar? I know for me it does. Hopefully it does to you too. And if not, well, by the end of this, maybe you will want to get to know it. So in Super Mario Brothers, the player takes on the role of Mario, the protagonist of the series. Mario's younger brother, Luigi, is controlled by the second player in the game's multiplayer mode and assumes the same plot role and functionality as Mario. Now, if you yourself are a younger brother or you have a younger brother, you understand Luigi's place in all this. It's down on the bottom rung. The objective is to race through the Mushroom Kingdom, survive the main antagonist, Bowser's forces, and save Princess Toadstool. The game is a side-scrolling platformer. The player moves from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen in order to reach the flagpole at the end of each level. The game world features coins scattered around for Mario to collect and special bricks marked with a question mark, which when hit from below by Mario may reveal more coins or a special item. Other secret, often invisible bricks may contain more coins or rare items. If the player gains a super mushroom, Mario grows to double his size and gains the ability to break bricks above him. If Mario gets hit in this mode, instead of dying, he turns back to regular Mario. Players start with a certain number of lives and may gain additional lives by picking up green, spotted, orange, 1-up mushrooms hidden in bricks, or by collecting 100 coins, defeating several enemies in a row with a Koopa Troopa, or bouncing on enemies successfully without touching the ground. Mario loses a life if he takes damage while small, falls in a bottomless pit, or runs out of time. The game ends when the player runs out of lives, although a button input can be used on the game over screen to continue from the first level of the world in which the player died. Mario's primary attack is jumping on top of enemies, though many enemies have differing responses to this. For example, a Goomba will flatten and be defeated, while a Koopa Troopa will temporarily retract into its shell, allowing Mario to use it as a projectile. These shells may be deflected off a wall to destroy the other enemies, though they can also bounce back against Mario, which will hurt or kill him. Other enemies, such as underwater foes and enemies with spiked tops, cannot be jumped on and will damage the player instead. Mario can also defeat enemies above him by jumping to hit the brick that the enemy is standing on. Mario may also acquire the Fire Flower from certain blocks that, when picked up, changes the color of Super Mario's outfit and allows him to throw fireballs. However, Certain enemies, such as buzz beetles, are immune to fireballs. A less common item is the Starman, which often appears when Mario hits certain concealed or otherwise invisible blocks. This item makes Mario temporarily invincible to most hazards and capable of defeating enemies on contact. The game consists of 8 worlds with 4 sub-levels called stages. In each world, the final stage takes place in a castle where Bowser is fought above a suspension bridge. The first 7 of these Bowsers are false Bowsers, whom are actually minions disguised as him, while the real Bowser is found in the 8th world. Bowser and his decoys are defeated by jumping over them and reaching an axe on the end of the bridge, although they can also be defeated using a fire flower. The game also includes certain stages taking place underwater, which contain different enemies. In addition, there are bonuses and secret areas in the game. Most secret areas contain more coins for Mario to collect, but some contain warp pipes that allow Mario to advance directly to latter worlds in the game without completing the intervening stages. After completing the game once, the player is rewarded with the ability to replay the game with changes made to increase its difficulty, such as all Goombas in the game being replaced by buzzed beetles. Now, I think I played that version one time where I beat the game and I decided, let's go for it. It was not fun. The buzz beetles are really annoying. So I think once I would beat it, I was just done. Let's start over with the original game. Let's talk about the development. So Super Mario Brothers was designed by Shigeru Miyamoto and Takashi Tezuka of the Nintendo Creative Department. And I just want to say, if I'm massacring these names, I'm sorry. I'm doing my best. And largely programmed by Toshihiko Nagago of SRD Company Limited. The original Mario Brothers, released in 1983, is an arcade platformer that takes place on a single screen with a black background. For Super Mario Brothers, Miyamoto wanted to create a more colorful game with a scrolling screen and large characters. Development was a culmination of their technical knowledge from working on Devil World, Excitebike, and Kung Fu, along with their desire to develop the platformer genre they had created with earlier games. The side-scrolling gameplay of racing games like Excitebike and beat-em-up like Kung Fu Master, later ported by Miyamoto's team to be Kung Fu on the NES, were key steps towards Miyamoto's vision of an expansive side-scrolling platformer. While working on Excitebike and Kung Fu, he came up with the concept of a platformer that would have the player strategize while scrolling sideways over long distances, have above ground and underground levels, and have colorful backgrounds rather than black backgrounds. Miyamoto also wanted to create a game that would be the final exclamation point for the ROM cartridge format before the forthcoming Famicom Disk System was released. Super Mario Brothers was made in tandem with The Legend of Zelda, another Famicom game directed and designed by Miyamoto, and released in Japan 5 months later. And the games shared some elements. For instance, the fireballs that appear in the Mario Castle levels begin as objects in Zelda. So Miyamoto pretty much created my childhood from 6 years on. I owe that guy a boat or something. To have a new game available for the end of year shopping season, Nintendo aimed for simplicity. They started with a prototype in which the player moved a 16 by 32 pixel square around a single screen. Tezuka suggested using Mario after seeing the sales figures of Mario Brothers. The team chose the name Super Mario Brothers after implementing the Super Mushroom power-up. The game initially used a concept in which Mario or Luigi could fly a rocket ship while firing at enemies, but this went unused. The final game's sky-based bonus stages are a remnant of this concept. The team found it illogical that Mario was hurt by stomping on turtles in Mario Brothers, so they decided that future Mario games would definitely have it so that you could jump on turtles all you want. Miyamoto initially imagined Bowser as an ox, inspired by the Ox King from the Toho animation film Alakazam the Great. However, Tezuka decided he looked more like a turtle and then collaborated to create his final design. The development of Super Mario Brothers is an early example of specialization in the video game industry, made possible and necessary by the Famicom's arcade-capable hardware. Miyamoto designed the game world and led a team of 7 programmers and artists who turned his ideas into code, sprites, music, and sound effects. developers of previous hit games joined the team, importing many special programming techniques, features, and design refinements, such as Donkey Kong's slopes, lifts, conveyor belts, and ladders, Donkey Kong Jr.'s ropes, logs, and springs, and Mario Brothers' enemy attack, enemy movement, frozen platforms, and POW blocks. The team based the level design around a small Mario, intending to later make his size bigger in the final version, but decided it would be fun to let Mario change his size via a power-up. The early level design was focused on teaching players that mushrooms were distinct from Goombas and would be beneficial to them. So in the first level of the game, the first mushroom is difficult to avoid if it is released. The use of mushrooms to change size was influenced by Japanese folk tales in which people wandered into forests and ate magical mushrooms. This also resulted in the game world being named the Mushroom Kingdom. The team had Mario begin levels as small Mario to make obtaining a mushroom more gratifying. Miyamoto explained, "When we made the prototype of the big Mario, we did not feel he was big enough. So we came up with the idea of showing the smaller Mario first, which would be made bigger in the game, and players could see it and feel that he was bigger." Miyamoto denied rumors the developers implemented a small Mario after a bug caused only his upper half to appear. Miyamoto also said that the shell-kicking one-up trick was carefully tested, but people turned out to be a lot better at pulling the trick off for ages on end than we thought. Other features, such as blocks containing multiple coins, were inspired by programming glitches. Super Mario Bros. Was developed with a cartridge of 256 kilobytes of program code and data and 64 kilobytes of sprite and background graphics. Due to the storage limitations, the designers happily considered their aggressive search for space-saving opportunities to be akin to their own fun television game show competition. For instance, clouds and bushes in the game's backgrounds use that same sprite recolored, and background tiles are generated via an automatic algorithm. Sound effects were also recycled. The sound when Mario is damaged is the same sound as when he enters a pipe, and Mario jumping on an enemy is the same sound as each stroke when swimming. After completing the game, the development team decided that they should introduce players with a simple, easy-to-defeat enemy rather than beginning the game with Koopa Troopas. By this point, the project had nearly run out of money, so the designers created the Goombas by making a single static image and flipping it back and forth to save space while creating a convincing character animation. By this point, the project had run nearly out of money, so the After the addition of the game's music, around 20 bytes of open cartridge space remained. Miyamoto used the remaining space to add a sprite of a crown in the game, which would appear in the player's life counter as a reward for obtaining at least 10 lives. World 1-1. During the third generation of video game consoles, tutorials on video games were rare. Instead, players learned how a video game worked through being guided by level design. The opening section of Super Mario Bros. Was therefore specifically designed in such a way that players would be forced to explore the mechanics of the game to be able to advance. Rather than confront the newly oriented player with obstacles, the first level of Super Mario Bros. Lays down the variety of in-game hazards by means of repetition, iteration, and escalation. In an interview with Eurogamer, Miyamoto explained that he created World 1-1 to contain everything a player needs to gradually and naturally understand what they're doing, so that they can quickly understand how the game works. Nintendo sound designer Koji Kondo wrote the 6-track score for Super Mario Bros., as well as all the game's sound effects. At the time he was composing, video game music was mostly meant to attract attention, not necessarily to enhance or conform to the game. Kondo's work on Super Mario Bros. Was one of the major forces in the shift towards music becoming an integral part of video games. Kondo had 2 specific goals for his music: to convey an unambiguous sonic image of the game world, and to enhance the emotional and physical experience of the gamer. The music of Super Mario Bros. Is coordinated with the on-screen animation of the various sprites, which was one way that Kondo created a sense of greater immersion. Kondo wasn't the first to do this in a video game. For instance, Space Invaders features a simple song that gets faster and faster as the aliens speed up, eliciting a sense of stress and impending doom, which matches the increasing challenge of the game. Unlike most games of the time, for which composers were hired later in the process to add music to a nearly finished game, Kondo was a part of the development team almost from the beginning of production, working in tandem with the rest of the team to create the game's soundtrack. Kondo's compositions were largely influenced by the game's gameplay, intending for it to heighten the feeling of how the game controls. Before composition began, a prototype of the game was presented to Kondo so that he could get an idea of Mario's general environment and revolve the music around it. Kondo wrote the score with the help of a small piano to create appropriate melodies to fit the game's environments. After the development of the game showed progress, Kondo began to feel that his music did not quite fit the pace of the game, so he changed it a bit by increasing the song's tempos. The music was further adjusted based on the expectation of Nintendo's playtesters. Now, Super Mario Bros. Was first released in Japan on September 13, 1985, for the Family Computer. It was released later that year in North America for Nintendo Entertainment System. Its exact North American release date is unknown and is frequently debated, though generally being cited as having been released alongside the NES in October 1985 as a launch game. When the console had a limited release in the U.S., several other sources conflict. Its exact North American release date is unknown and is frequently debated, though generally being cited as having been released alongside the NES in October 1985 as a launch game. When the console had a limited release in the U.S., several other sources conflict with this statement, suggesting that the game may have released in other varying time frames ranging from November 1985 to early 1986. The arcade game port for the Nintendo Versus system debuted in London in January 1986, and then released in overseas markets outside of Japan in February 1986. The Versus Super Mario Bros. For the arcades was the first version of the game to get a wide international release outside of Japan in early 1986. Prior to the NES version getting a wide North American release the same year, many players outside of Japan were introduced to the game through the arcade version. The NES version was eventually released in Europe on May 15, 1987. In 1988, the game was re-released along with the shooting range game Duck Hunt as a part of a single ROM cartridge, which came packaged with the NES as a pack-in game, as part of the console's action set. This version of the game is extremely common in North America, with millions of copies of it having been manufactured and sold in the United States. In 1990, another cartridge touting two games as well as World Class Track Meet was also released in North America as part of the NES Power Set. It was released on May 15, 1987 in Europe, and during that year in Australia as well. In 1988, the game was re-released in Europe in a cartridge containing the game plus Tetris and Nintendo World Cup. The compilation was sold alone or bundled with a revised version of the NES. Super Mario Bros. Has been ported and re-released several times. February 21, 1986 was the release of a conversion to the Famicom Disk System, Nintendo's proprietary floppy disk drive. The Versus Super Mario Bros. Is a 1986 arcade adaptation of Super Mario Bros., released on the Nintendo Versus system and the Nintendo Versus Unisystem, its variant. The Versus Super Mario Bros. Is a 1986 arcade adaptation of Super Mario Bros., released on the Nintendo Versus system and the Nintendo Versus Unisystem. Existing levels were made much more difficult, with narrower platforms, more dangerous enemies, fewer hidden power-ups, and 200 coins needed for an extra life instead of 100. Several of the new levels went on to be featured in the Japanese sequel Super Mario Bros. 2. In Japan, the arcade game was not officially released in the country. As a result, illegal coin-op versions made from a Famicom console placed inside of an arcade cabinet had become available in Japanese arcades by January 1986. However, Nintendo threatened legal action or prosecution against Japanese arcade operators with coin-op versions of the game. Despite this, Japanese arcade operators were still able to get access to illegal coin-op versions through 1987. Shocking, Nintendo threatened someone with legal action. Never thought that ever happened. Outside of Japan, Versus Super Mario Bros. Was officially released for arcades in overseas markets during early 1986, becoming the first version of the game to get a wide international release. The arcade game debuted at the 1986 Amusement Trades Expedition International show in London. Held in January 1986, this was the first appearance of Super Mario Bros. In Europe. The arcade game then received a wide international release for overseas markets outside of Japan in February 1986, initially in the form of a ROM software conversion kit. In North America, the game was featured in an official contest during the Acme Convention in Chicago, held in March 1986. Becoming a popular attraction at the show, it soon drew a loyal following across North America arcades and appeared as the eighth top-grossing arcade video game on the U.S. Play Meter arcade charts in May 1986. It went on to sell 20,000 arcade units within a few months, becoming the best-selling Nintendo Versus system release, with each unit consistently earning an average of more than $200 per week. It became the 13th highest-grossing arcade game of 1986 in the United States, according to the annual Replay arcade chart, which was topped by Sega's Hang-On. The arcade version helped introduce Super Mario Bros. To many players who did not own a Nintendo Entertainment System. An emulation version of the game was released for the Nintendo Switch via the Arcade Archives collection on December 22, 2017. Playing that release, Chris Kohler of Kotaku called the game's intense difficulty the meanest trick Nintendo ever played. A remake of the game titled Super Mario Bros. Special, developed by Hudson Soft, was released in Japan in 1986 for the NEC PC-8801 and the Sharp X1 personal computers. Though featuring similar controls and graphics, the game lacks screen scrolling due to hardware limitations, has different level designs and new items, and new enemies based on Mario Bros. And Donkey Kong. A handheld LCD game under the same name was released as a part of Nintendo's Game & Watch line of LCD games. Several modified versions of the game have been released, many of which are ROM hacks of the original NES game. All Night Nippon Super Mario Bros., a promotional, graphically modified version of Super Mario Bros., was officially released in Japan in December 1986 for the Famicom Disk System as a promotional item given away by the popular Japanese radio show All Night Nippon. The game was published by Fuji TV, which later published Doki Doki Panic. The game features graphics based upon the show, with sprites of the enemies, mushroom retainers, and other characters being changed to look like famous Japanese music idols, recording artists, and DJs, as well as other people related to All Night Nippon. The game makes use of the same slightly upgraded graphics and alternate physics featured in Japanese release of Super Mario Bros. 2. The modern collector market considers it extremely rare, selling for nearly $500. Not that rare. On November 11th, 2010, a special red variant of the Wii containing a pre-downloaded version of the game was released in Japan to celebrate its 25th anniversary. Several graphical changes happened, including the question mark box now had the number 25 on them. Super Luigi Bros. Is a redux of the game featured within NES Remix 2, based on a mission in NES Remix. It stars only Luigi in a mirrored version of World 1-2, scrolling from left to right with a higher jump and a slide similar to the Japanese Super Mario Bros. 2. Super Mario Bros. All-Stars, a compilation game released in 1993 for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, featured a remake version of Super Mario Bros. Alongside remakes of several of the other Super Mario games released on the NES. The version of Super Mario Bros. Included in this compilation has improved graphics and sound, to match the Super Nintendo's 16-bit capabilities, as well as minor alterations to some of the game's collision mechanics. The game also features the ability for a player to save their progress midway through the game and changes the game player's multi-mode
so that the two players can switch off after every level in addition to whenever a player dies. Super Mario All-Stars was also re-released for the Wii as a repackaged 25th anniversary version, featuring the same version of the game, along with a 32-page art book and a compilation CD of music from various Super Mario games. Super Mario Bros. Deluxe, often referred to as Super Mario Bros. DX, was released on the Game Boy Color on May 10, 1999 in North America and Europe, and in May 20th in Japan. Based on the original Super Mario Bros., it features an overworld level map, simultaneous multiplayer, a challenge mode in which the player finds hidden objects and achieves a certain score in addition to normally completing the level, and 8 additional worlds based on the main worlds of the Japanese 1986 game Super Mario Bros. 2. It is compatible with the Game Boy printer, if you have one of those. Compared to Super Mario Bros., the game features a few minor visual upgrades, such as water and lava now being animated rather than static, and a smaller screen due to the lower resolution of the Game Boy Color. It was released on the Nintendo 3DS Virtual Console in 2014. GamesRadar placed the game at number 15 in its list of the greatest Game Boy game of all time, explaining that Nintendo could have simply ported the game, but instead they expanded on it. The staff opined that the only downside was the camera in the game. Jeremy Parrish of US Gamer praised the game, comparing it favorably to Super Mario All-Stars, which he said basically just improved the graphics from 8-bit to 16-bit. He also praised Super Mario Bros. DX for adding considerable more to the original games, like the secret unlockable bonus, the addition of lost levels, new objectives, modes, and multiplayer mechanics, along with the ability to play with Luigi's reduced friction and higher jumping physics. He described it as a comprehensive overhaul of the whole Super Mario Bros. Video game. Additionally, Kevin Webb of Game Informer named the game as one of the greatest Game Boy games of all time. Meanwhile, the Esquire staff ranked it as the 9th greatest Game Boy game. Well, screw the Esquire staff. As one of Nintendo's most popular games, Super Mario Bros. Has been re-released and remade numerous times, with every single major Nintendo console up to the Nintendo Switch sporting its own port or remake of the game, with the exception of the Nintendo 64. In early 2003, Super Mario Bros. Was ported to the Game Boy Advance as part of the Famicom Minus collection in Japan, and as a part of the NES series in the US. This version of the game is entirely emulated, making it completely identical to the original game. According to the NPD Group, which tracks game sales in North America, this re-released version of Super Mario Bros. Was the best-selling Game Boy Advance game from June 2004 to December 2004. In 2005, Nintendo re-released the port of the game as part of the game's 20th anniversary. This special edition of the game went on to sell approximately 876,000 units. The game is one of the 19 unlockable NES games included in the GameCube game Animal Crossing, for which it was distributed by Famitsu as a prize for owners of Dobutsu no Mori. Outside of this game, the game cannot be unlocked through in-game conventional means, and the only way to access it is through the use of a third-party cheat device, such as GameShark or Action Replay. Super Mario Bros. Is featured as one of the 30 included games with the NES Classic Edition, a dedicated video game console containing several NES games. This version of the game allows for the use of suspension points to save in-game progress, and can be played in various display styles, including its original 4x3 resolution, a pixel-perfect resolution, and a style emulating the look of a cathode ray tube television. In November 2020, a new version of the Game & Watch Super Mario Bros. Was released, which featured the original NES version of the game with some modifications. It starts with the A button, adds the unlocking of hard mode after completing the normal game, which was originally lost when the NES was turned off, and adds an infinite Mario mode, which starts the game with unlimited lives if the A button is held down at the title screen. Just a hint. Super Mario Bros. Was also re-released for several of Nintendo's game systems as part of the Virtual Console line of classic video game releases. It was first released for the Wii on December 2nd, 2006 in Japan, December 25th, 2006 in North America, and January 5th, 2007 in PAL regions. The release is a complete emulation of the original game, meaning that nothing has changed from its original NES release. This version of the game is also one of the trial games made available in the Masterpieces section of Super Smash Bros. Brawl, where it can be demoed for a limited amount of time. A Nintendo 3DS release of the game was initially distributed exclusively to members of Nintendo's 3DS Ambassador Program in September 2011. Super Mario Bros. Was immensely successful and helped popularize the side-scrolling platform game genre. Within 4 months of its September 1985 release in Japan, about 3 million copies were sold, grossing more than 12.2 billion yen, equivalent to 72 million at the time, which is inflated to 171 million in 2019. By 1987, 5 million copies were sold for the Famicom. Outside of Japan, many were introduced to the game through the arcade version, which became the best-selling Nintendo versus system release, with 20,000 arcade units sold within a few months in early 1986. In the United States, the NES version went on to sell more than 1 million copies in 1986, more than 4 million by 1988, 9.1 million by 1989, and more than 10 million by January 1991. Altogether, excluding ports and re-releases, 40.24 million copies of the original NES release have been sold, making it the best-selling video game in the Mario series and one of the best-selling video games of all time, with 29 million copies sold in North America alone. Including ports and re-releases, more than 50 million units have been sold worldwide by 1996. The game was the all-time best-selling game for over 20 years until its lifetime sales were ultimately surpassed by Wii Sports. That's right, folks, Wii Sports. The game's Wii Virtual Console release was also successful, reaching number one by mid-2007, and at an estimated 660,000 units for $3.2 million outside of Japan and Korea in 2009. Claire Edgley of Computer and Video Games gave the arcade version a positive review upon its 1986 debut. She felt the graphics were simple compared to other arcade games, such as Sega's Space Harrier at the same show, but was surprised at the depth of gameplay, including its length, number of hidden secrets, and the high degree of dexterity it required. She predicted that the game would be a major success. In the fall of 1986, Top Score newsletter reviewed Versus Super Mario Bros. For arcades, calling it without a doubt one of the best video games of the year, and stating that it combined a variety of proven play concepts with a number of new twists to the gameplay. The arcade game received the award for the best video game of 1986 at the Amusement Player Association Player's Choice Award, held during the first U.S. National Convention in January 1987, where the game was popular among arcade players. Reviewing the NES version, the Video Game Update segment of Computer Entertainment Magazine in June 1986 praised the cute and comical graphics, lively music, and most of all its depth of play, including the number of hidden surprises and discoveries. The review said it was worthy of a spot in the Hall of Fame reserved for truly addictive video games, and was a must-have NES game. In early 1987, Top Score reviewed the NES version, noting that it was mostly the same as the arcade version, and stating that it was a near-perfect game with simple play mechanics, hundreds of incentives, and hidden surprises, an ever-changing environment, colorful graphics, and skillfully blended music. The Games Machine reviewed the NES version upon its European release in 1987, calling it a great and playable game, with praise for the gameplay, which it notes is simple to understand without needing to read the manual, and has alternate routes for problems that can occasionally be frustrating but rewarding, as well as the splendid graphics and sounds. Retrospective critical analysis of the game has been extremely positive, with many touting it as one of the best video games of all time. Nintendo Power named it the fourth best NES game, describing it as the beginning of the modern era of video games. Electronic Gaming Monthly ranked it first on its list of greatest 200 games of their time. IGN included it in the list of the best 100 games in 2005 and 2007. It's not too difficult to retroactively call a game an amazing game. Just saying. Now, the success of Super Mario Brothers led to the development of many successors in the Super Mario series of video games, which in turn formed the core of the greater Mario franchise. Two of these sequels, Super Mario Bros. 2 and Super Mario Bros. 3, were direct sequels to the game and were released for the NES, experiencing similar levels of commercial success. A different sequel, also titled Super Mario Bros. 2, was released for the Famicom Disk System in 1986 exclusively in Japan, and was later released elsewhere as part of a Super Mario All-Stars under the name Super Mario Bros. The Lost Levels. It is a very difficult game, just FYI. The gameplay concepts and elements established in Super Mario Bros. Are prevalent in nearly every Super Mario game. The series consists of over 15 entries. At least one Super Mario game has been released on every Nintendo console to date. Super Mario 64 is widely considered one of the greatest games ever made, and is largely credited with revolutionizing the platform genre of video games and its step from 2D to 3D. The series is one of the best-selling, with more than 310 million units sold worldwide as of September 2015. In 2010, Nintendo released special red variants of the Wii and the Nintendo DSi XL consoles in repackaged Mario-themed limited edition bundles as part of the 25th anniversary of the game's original release. To celebrate the series' 30th anniversary, Nintendo released Super Mario Maker, a game for the Wii U which allows players to create custom platforming stages using assets from Super Mario games and in the style of Super Mario Bros., along with other styles based around the different games in the series. The game's success helped to push Mario as a worldwide cultural icon. In 1990, a study taken in North America suggested that more children in the United States were familiar with Mario than they were with Mickey Mouse, another popular media character. The game's musical score, composed by Koji Kondo, particularly the game's overworld theme, has also become a prevalent aspect of popular culture, with the latter theme being featured in nearly every single Super Mario game. Alongside the NES platform, Super Mario Bros. Is often credited to having resurrected the video game industry after the market crash of 1983. In the United States Supreme Court case Brown versus Entertainment Merchants Association, the Electronic Frontier Foundation submitted an amicus brief which supported overturning a law which would have banned violent video games in the state of California. The brief cited social research that declared Super Mario Bros., among several others, to contain cartoon violence similar to that found in children's programs such as Mighty Mouse and Roadrunner. It garnered very little negative reaction from the public. Because of its status within the video game industry and being an early Nintendo game, mint condition copies of Super Mario Bros. Have been considered collector's items for a while now. In 2019, the auction of a near-mint, sealed-box version of the game was sold for just over $100,000, which is considered to have drawn wider interest in the field of video game collecting. A year later, in July 2020, a similarly near-mint sealed-box copy of the game from the period when Nintendo was transitioning from sticker seals to shrink wrap went for $114,000, at the time the highest price ever for a single video game. Video game developer Yuji Naku has cited Super Mario Bros. As a huge inspiration towards the concept for the immensely successful 1991 Sega Genesis game Sonic the Hedgehog. According to Naka, the general idea of the game first materialized when he was playing through the game and trying to beat the game's first level as quickly as possible, and thought about the concept of a platformer based around moving as fast as possible. Super Mario Bros. Has served as inspiration for several fan games. In 2019, developer Swing Swing released Tupper Tario Tros, a game which combines elements of Super Mario Bros. And Tetris. Super Mario Bros. Crossover, a PC fan game developed by Jay Pavlina and released in 2010, is a free browser-based game, which is a full recreation of Super Mario Bros. It allows the player to alternatively control various other characters from Nintendo games, including Mega Man, Link from The Legend of Zelda, Samus from Metroid, and Simon Belmont from Castlevania. Mario was released in December 2012, It combines elements of the game with that of Portal by giving Mario a portal-making gun with which to teleport through the level, and full-screen Mario as a level editor. In 2015, game designer Josh Millard released Unigi, a metafiction fan game with commentary on the original game, which relates to Luigi's inability to come to terms with the game's overall lack of narrative. Super Mario Bros. Is substantial in speedrunning esports as well, with coverage beyond video gaming and a specific version for Guinness World Records. Let's talk about some of the weird stuff in the game. The Minus World, a world negative one, is an unbeatable glitch level present in the original NES release. World 1-2 contains a hidden warp zone with warp pipes that transport the player to worlds 2, 3, and 4, accessed by running over a wall near the exit. If the player is able to exploit a bug that allows Mario to pass through the bricks, the player can enter the warp zone by passing through the wall, and the pipe to World 2-1 and 4-1 may instead transport the player to an underwater stage labeled World Negative 1. The stage's map is identical to Worlds 2-2 and 7-2. And upon entering the warp pipe at the end, the player is actually taken back to the start of the level, thus trapping the player in the level until all lives have been lost. Although the level is shown as negative one, with a leading space on the heads-up display, it is actually World 36-1, with the tile for 36 being shown as a blank space. The Minus World bug in the Japanese Famicom Disk System version of the game behaves differently and creates multiple completable stages. World Negative 1 is an underwater version of World 1-3 with an underwater level color palette and underwater level music, and contains sprites of Princess Toadstool, Bowser, and the Hammer Brothers. World Negative 2 is an identical copy of World 7-3, and World Negative 3 is a copy of World 4-4 with an underground level palette and underground level music, and does not loop if the player takes the wrong path, contrary to the original World 4-4. After completing the level, Toad's usual message is displayed, but Toad himself is absent. After completing these levels, the game returns to the title screen as if completed, and is now replayable as if in a harder mode, since it's higher than World 8. There are hundreds of glitch levels beyond the Minus World. 256 worlds are present, including the 8 playable ones, which can be accessed in a multitude of ways, such as cheat codes or ROM hacking. The Super Mario Bros. Series has inspired various media products. In 1985, Takuma Shoten produced the book Super Mario Bros. The Complete Strategy Guide. Its content is partially recycled from Family Computer magazine, plus new content written by Naoto Yamamoto, who received no royalties. It is Japan's best-selling book of 1985 at 630,000 copies sold. It is also Japan's best-selling book of 1986, with 860,000 copies sold, making it a total of 1.3 million copies sold. Nintendo of America later translated it into English as How to Win at Super Mario Bros., and published it in North America via the Nintendo Fan Club and early issues of Nintendo Power magazine. The 1986 anime film Super Mario Bros., The Great Mission to Rescue Princess Peach, is acknowledged as one of the first feature-length films to be based directly off of a video game. The live-action Super Mario Bros. Film was released theatrically in 1993, starring Bob Hoskins as Mario and John Leguizamo as Luigi. It is a terrible movie. Do not go see it. The American animation television series, The Super Mario Bros. Super Show, ran from 1989 to 1990, starring professional wrestler Lou Albano as Mario and Danny Wells as Luigi. An animated film based on the series created by Illumination Entertainment is currently in production. So that's it for my little breakdown of Super Mario Brothers. I hope you found this interesting. I sure did when I was researching it. There was a lot of cool stuff I didn't know about. Mind-boggling the amount of units and money made off this game. But I would tell you to, actually I would ask that you take some time this weekend and play Super Mario Brothers. If you've never played it before, get into it. If you have, let's see how fast you can beat it. Let's see how many secrets you can find. I prefer to play it with the warp levels. I just enjoy getting through it quick. But there is occasion when I like to just play through every single level just to see what I missed out. Anyway, hope you guys have a great weekend. Thanks again for showing up and listening to this podcast. and keep on gaming.
Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please take a second to subscribe. And if you want to get a hold of me, you can at retrobendgaming@gmail.com. Thanks again, and as always, keep gaming.